Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and we have a really interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking with Richie Martin, who is an Irish player who is now living in the Atlanta area, and he has developed an elite 10 and under development program that he's going to share with us today. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation and picking Richie's brain a little bit about working with these young players and getting them ready for competition at the highest levels. So just a little bit about Richie. He is the former number one Irish junior player in both singles and doubles. He won national titles in singles and doubles and then went on to compete on the ITF circuit and the Futures circuit. He also played college tennis in the UK, and he's coached some of the top players in the world, several top 100 players. He's worked with the Irish Davis Cup team and also the Hong Kong national squad. He's now based out of Atlanta, as I mentioned, at Old Town Athletic Club at the Ginepri Performance Tennis Academy, and that is actually where my son was training until just a few months ago. So I'm intimately familiar with the facility. I actually play on a couple of USTA teams out of there as well, and it's a beautiful facility. Happens to be 5 minutes from my house, so you can't beat that. But without further ado, let me bring Richie on the air, and we'll jump right in. Richie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Lisa, thanks a million for having me on the show.
And I just want to let our listeners know that you are actually driving, you're on the road, and the weather is kind of icky out there. So to those of you listening, if Richie has to make a slight detour due to weather, please bear with us, and we're going to do our best here. I also just want to remind everyone that the show runs for an hour. We may have to cut short today again because of Richie's travel, but we'll hopefully get as much in our time together as possible. So, Richie, let's get right into things because I know you're busy and trying to focus on the road. But so tell us a little bit about your history with the youngest players, these 10 and under players, and how you got into working with that age group and kind of coming up with a training program for them.
Sure. I've spent a lot of time with the younger players kind of all the way up. Like I would have started coaching when I was around 16 part-time, so I would have worked with a lot of kids then, and then I actually did the Parks Tennis in Ireland, so I was a head coach in the summer times, and we had a massive Parks program where all the kids would go along to the tennis courts at the local parks, and we'd run like summer camps and little tournaments and stuff. So I guess I, you know, started working with younger players when I was around 16 or 17. Then I, you know, played on the circuit for a little bit. And at the age of 24, I moved out to Hong Kong. Had a really good coaching opportunity out there, and I ran programs in a couple of tennis clubs there. And then I got recruited to be a coach on the national team. So I worked with like the 12s and the 14s. And then in 2011, I also headed up the under 10 program. So we had a really, really cool under 10 program primarily focused on the orange ball and the green ball. And it was actually one of our biggest programs, and it was one of the most enjoyable programs to work on as well. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Great. And so now you're here in the Atlanta area, and you're working with the young players at Old Town. And I wanted to kind of get you to talk a little bit about how you incorporate the colored balls in the training and, you know, how you kind of stray off the beaten path in terms of the strict ROG development.
Sure. Well, essentially, we're following the ITF system. So that's the International Tennis Federation. We're following their system. That's how I ran it in Hong Kong. I felt it worked really well. So the, like, sort of 4 to 6 year olds will be using the red ball. Then 6 to 8 will be using the orange, and then sort of 8 to 10 will be using the green. And, you know, we really want to try and get the kids playing full court regular ball, sort of 9.5, 10, ideally. I know the USTA like to keep them on the green ball until they're 12, but the international system's not like that. You know, we want the kids definitely playing full court regular ball when they're 10.
And so how do you feel about the fact that here in the States, and specifically in Georgia, that the kids are being told what color ball to play with, what size court to play on, based on age rather than on their developmental stage?
Sure. You know, at the program, at the club, we definitely have some flexibility. So, you know, if there are kids that are, say, 5 years old, but they're ahead of all the other kids, we can bump them up into the orange group. And, you know, the same thing with the orange ball. If there are kids stronger, even if they're too young, we can bump them up into the green ball. So there's definitely flexibility. I think the ITF system, it's their guidelines. You know, their guidelines to help guide, you know, coaches and parents. But, you know, I'm definitely flexible with us.
Right. And with the USTA system, though, it's not guidelines. It's definite age requirements in order to move up. So, you know, initially the conversation went along the lines of, well, if you have a 9-year-old who is ready for full court yellow ball tennis, then they should just play up in the 12s. But what's happened in some sections in the States is that now the sections are limiting even the 12-year-olds from playing full court yellow ball. So I'm wondering how you handle that with a specific player that might be ready before they've hit the magic age number, and how you handle that with the parents as well in terms of competition.
Sure. I think like they can play both, so they can play the green and the regular. They can definitely do that. If, you know, if one of my players is better suited to the regular ball, I'll encourage them to play up and to play the regular ball. If they're not, we'll keep them in the green ball. So, you know, I'm pretty flexible. I think, you know, every player is different. Every player is an individual. So I like to keep that flexibility in my coaching and in the program.
Are you seeing any issues with, let's say, an 8-9-year-old playing up in terms of injury or in terms of frustration at playing children who are just physically more developed than they are, even though they may be on the same level tennis-wise?
Well, I think it's always good to get experience playing players that are actually a little better than you. I think it can definitely help develop your game some more. And even when you lose a match, you learn from it. So at that age, it's all about developing players and learning, not so much the result. So I remember when I was a kid growing up, when I was 8 or 9, I was playing up maybe in some of the 12s. You know, I lost matches, but I learned a lot from it, and I felt those losses helped develop me more than some of the easy wins I had.
Sure. But I think, you know, one of the things that has become a concern since this ROG limitation has been placed on developing players is that when you, I don't want to use the word force, but it's, for lack of a better word, I'm going to use the word force. When you force a, when you force a younger child to play up against older children, you increase that younger child's risk of getting injured. And I think we're just starting to see some data on that. You know, the, a 12-year-old obviously is going to hit the ball with typically more pace.
Stronger, sure.
Right. And, you know, a, an 8- or 9-year-old's body just isn't equipped a lot of times to deal with that. So
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Like, I don't think kids should be forced to do anything, you know, forced to play up or forced to play tennis or forced to do anything. So, yeah, I wouldn't agree with that at all.
And so,
like, I wouldn't, I don't think it's good to force kids to do something they shouldn't be doing or do something they don't want to do. And I think we're like, you know, eight-year-olds, their bodies aren't developed, so definitely keeping them on the softer ball is better. You know, I think it only really comes into play maybe a 9.5-year-old who's bigger and stronger than some of the other kids. There's a potential option to play up with the regular ball. It's not a must, but it's something that, you know, the parents and the coach and the player can discuss. That's how I deal with things.
Right. We're seeing a lot of kind of alternative tournament circuits crop up that are allowing the younger children to play full court yellow ball tennis. I know there's a circuit here in the Atlanta area run by J.P. Weber, and the Little Mo circuit certainly follows that path of full court yellow ball tennis. So have you had an issue where you've had a younger child who really is ready for the full court yellow ball and, you know, are you coaching them to head toward these alternative tournaments? Do you feel like they need to stay with USTA tournaments in order to build a ranking? What's your thought process on that?
Well, essentially the color ball system is designed to get kids, to develop kids in the most efficient way to transition them onto the yellow ball. So that's kind of always the ultimate goal is to transition them through the colors and onto full court regular ball. And, you know, we're following the ITF system that's endorsed by Federer, Nadal, Agassi, all the top players in the world. So, you know, that's really our goal, is to get the kids onto the yellow ball. That really is, when they're 9.5, I think there's potential to get them on there. Before that, most kids really aren't, they're not ready for it. And if they do play the full court regular ball, the standard isn't as good. The rallies are shorter. The ball's bent in it. Their strike zone. So they don't get as much out of it. So I think it's only really it's generally a good option to explore when they're around 9.5, between 9 and 10. But younger than that, like any kids who are 8 years old, should definitely be on the green ball full court.
Gotcha. And so from a developmental standpoint, what are the guideposts that you personally like to use with the kids, taking them from red to orange to green? What are you looking for before you move them up?
Sorry, I didn't catch that, Lisa.
Oh, so what developmental guideposts are you looking for to transition a child from red to orange to green?
Well, I think ball control and their ability to rally is key. So, like, let's say there's kids in the red ball program, you know, if they can comfortably get, say, a rally of 15 shots with the coach alternating forehands and backhands, if they, you know, move around the court well, that'll certainly help them transition onto the orange ball. But, say, kids who are struggling to get a rally of five or six shots should definitely stay in the red ball. In terms of getting on to, from orange to green, being able to play points well, being able to serve, being able to keep track of score, being able to, you know, rally shots of 30 or 40 with a coach, they'd be guidelines to, they'd definitely be the transitional guideline, along with the age as well.
Okay, great. We have a caller on the line. Let me just see if they have a question,
cool.
Or if they're tuned in listening. Hang on one second. So I have a caller from area code 404-262. Are you there? Caller 404-262, are you listening or have a question for us? Okay, I'm going to assume they're just tuned in listening to the show, so we'll just keep going.
Okay,
sorry,
cool.
Sorry for that interruption. So you said there's a number of balls that you'd like to see them be able to keep and play with the coach, hitting solidly off the forehand and backhand side. And so when does actual point construction come into play? Because I know that's one of the big selling points to the colored ball system, is that by, you know, keeping the bounce within the player's strike zone, that they're able to learn point creation, point development more quickly and more easily.
Sure, that's a good question. Essentially, it'll start in the orange ball, and then it'll become much more advanced in the green ball. So it'll just be basic point playing with the orange ball, and then the green ball there'll be more strategical coaching. So, for example, you know, opening up the court with an angle, and then changing direction, and varying the spins, varying the pace of the ball, and varying the height. Whereas in the orange, you're looking at sort of 6 and 7 year olds, so we keep it very, you know, we keep it very simple. And there's a real, you know, for me, the classes with the young kids, fun is really important. I want the kids out there enjoying themselves, and you know, when kids enjoy themselves, enjoy what they're doing, they put a lot more into it, and their concentration levels are much better. So you know, each color is clearly defined, and I feel that it works really well.
And so how do you feel that what you're doing on the court differs from what other coaches are doing with the U10 players? What sets you apart?
Well, I've seen some programs here with the 10 unders, and they don't use the color ball system, so I've seen little five-year-olds out there in the courts with real balls and a full-size tennis racket, which is totally wrong, and it's really bad for the tennis. Like, five-year-olds should not be playing with a full-size tennis racket with a regular ball. So I don't think that's going to help them at all, and I think it'll frustrate the kids, and they won't enjoy it. There's no way they'll be able to rally well at all, and it'll also affect their technical development. They won't have really the strength in their arms to be swinging a full-size racket, hitting a regular ball, and also the regular balls will be bouncing out of their strike zone. So I've seen a couple of programs in Atlanta that do that, and you know, it's definitely not what they should be doing. You know, the ITF system's endorsed by the ITF and top players in the world. So, you know, I think if it's good enough for Federer and Nadal, it should be good enough for everyone else.
But interestingly, those guys did not come up on the colored ball system. And
Actually, Federer did. Federer did. He did. He did grow up on it. We actually have a couple of cool promotional videos up on our up on the website, and Roger talks about how he grew up with playing with foam balls and shorter rackets. So So believe it or not, Federer did, and I also pretty sure Rafa. Rafa played with shorter rackets as well when he was a kid. So,
sure. And the shorter rackets, I think that idea, I mean, even when I was a kid, you know, your parents would just saw off the end. I mean, it was wood rackets. I'm that old. So,
right.
You know, it was easy to just saw off a wood racket and make a smaller racket for us when we were coming up. But, you know, and people who have listened to the show for a while and read Parenting Aces know I think the ROG system is great in terms of development. What I don't like about it is that it's age mandated and that the competition is age mandated. And, you know, as you said at the very beginning, every kid is different and develops at a different pace. And so that's been my argument with the system is why not give kids who are ready to compete with a yellow ball and a full court the opportunity to do so if they want it. And now we're seeing that happen. We're seeing, you know, tournaments crop up that are allowing that opportunity, which I think is great. Free market system is wonderful. But, you know,
I think the issue in the States, and it's not like this in other parts of the world.
Right.
Like the USTA came up with their own system that, you know, the 12s play with the green dot ball, and you know, I don't agree with that. I don't think it's necessary. So, you know, we're not going in line with them. We're going in line with the international system. So, you know, our goal is to have kids who are 9.5, 10 playing full court regular ball. That's our goal.
Right.
So, you know, I think the USTA. They went a little bit too far with the tournaments for under 12s playing for green ball. It's not what Federer and Nadal and those guys are endorsing, and it's not what the kids in Europe are doing. And like, you know, I think everyone knows European tennis is the best in the world. They're, you know, the Davis Cup, they were quarterfinals were all European. So I think it's much better to follow the international and European system rather than the USTA.
Right, but, I mean, so as a coach, again, I think I asked you this earlier, but I'm going to follow up. If you have a child who's ready for full court yellow ball, but
mm-hmm.
USTA is telling them, sorry, you have to play green dot, do you look for other competitive opportunities for them? Because,
yeah.
You know,
I would. You know, if there's a player who's, say, 9.5, close to 10, and they're physically, you know, stronger than the average kid at that age, and they've gone through the program, they're able to play well with the regular ball, I would encourage them to look for other tournaments that offer that, for sure.
So, in your mind, are you trying to keep these kids away from looking at rankings, because there are 10 and under rankings,
yeah,
and 12 and under rankings? So are you downplaying that in your program?
You know, we're not downplaying it. It's, you know, it's nice for the kids to have a ranking, but ultimately the most important thing is at that age is their tennis development, what's best for their tennis, as opposed to what's best for the ranking. Like, that's certainly my philosophy, you know, what's going to get their tennis better for in the future and the long term is much more important than a temporary under 10 ranking. And I think, you know, I think most parents would agree with that. But, you know, we also, it's nice to have a ranking, but it's not the most important thing at that age.
Right. And it's funny that you say that, because as a parent, you get sucked into the whole ranking thing, you know? You get sucked
sure.
into checking online every Monday to see what happened over the weekend. And I mean, one of
I think
the,
it becomes a little bit more important when they get older. So, you know, 14, 16, 18, so when they're looking at maybe playing, you know, getting tennis scholarships or potentially going to the circuit, it is more important. But, you know, the under 10, it's not, you know, it is important, but it's not the most important thing. I'd much rather see the kids develop better and have a lower ranking than have a higher ranking and not develop the way they should. So,
right. No, I think that's, I wish I had been given that advice more forcefully when my son was younger, because I do. It's key. And I think we parents tend to get caught up in that whole ranking game. And really what we want is the development piece, for sure.
Yeah. So, at that age, one of the most important things is that they're enjoying it. If kids at that age are enjoying it, they're going to work hard on it, and then also that they're getting better. So they're really the two most important things at that age, that they're having fun and that they're getting better. Having a good ranking is a bonus, but it's certainly not the most important thing.
Right.
So, you know, I'd urge parents to be mindful of that.
Right. Well, I just received an email that you guys are going to host a tournament for the 10 and under kids at the
club.
That's
right. Yeah.
And
that's right.
Is that just an internal event for the kids in your program, or is it open to the public, or how's that working?
It is an in-house tournament. Now, the kids in the program can bring a friend along. But we're not taking any entrances from outside for this particular event. But, you know, I hope to host some other tournaments in the future that will be open.
And so
the tournament, it's going to provide like a stepping stone for the kids in my program. They do a lot of training at the club. And then they'll go out and play an open event. They can get nervous. They often don't play their best. You know, they don't have a lot of tournament experience. So it really provides a stepping stone or transition from the training into the in-house tournament, playing open events outside. And there are going to be coaches there. We're going to be charting their matches. There's going to be a coach on every court, you know, helping out with scoring, line calls. They'll receive, you know, coaching in between sets. Really looking forward to it. I think it's great for the kids to do it. I remember when I was young, I did loads and loads of training, and I hadn't played any tournaments, and then I went outside to, you know, play big open tournaments and got nervous, lost love and love a couple of times in the first round. I felt it took me 6 or 7 tournaments to just feel comfortable out there before I started winning matches. But if I had had the in-house tournament, you know, with coaches there, it really would have helped.
I think it's
so
brilliant.
I think it's great to offer the kids, and I think it's going to really help the program and ultimately help the kids perform in open events much better.
Sure. It's funny, one of the conversations that's been going on a lot lately, and I actually did a show on this topic, is practice matches and the fact that kids today really don't just get together with their tennis buddies and play matches for practice.
Mm-hmm.
You're either in drills or you're in a private lesson, or if you're playing matches, it's part of a tournament. And so it sounds like what you guys are developing over there is a really nice transitional piece to supplement.
That's correct, yeah. That's right.
And yeah. I hope other coaches that who are listening to this are hearing what you're saying, because I know just from watching my own kid that playing a practice set is good, but there's a big difference in winning one set and winning 2 out of 3 sets, you know, keeping your
That's
focus.
Right.
And, you know, when things get tight, getting yourself out of those tight spots. And all of that comes through practice, and not through drills, not through private lessons, but by playing matches and playing and playing and playing.
Sure.
And when I came up, that's what we did. I mean, you know, we had drills for an hour, and then the coach would say, okay, you two go to this court, you two go to that court, come back and let me know when you're done playing 2 out of 3 sets. And that was how practice went every day. It's not that way so much anymore. It's a shame.
Yeah, sure. And I think, you know, the in-house tournaments that we're running also provide motivation for the kids in training. So let's say they don't have a tournament coming up for a couple of months outside, but we have an in-house tournament. You know, we talk about it during training, and it provides extra motivation for them to be working hard, and it can help them keep their concentration as well. So I think it's an essential part of any successful program.
Well, and I can tell you too, Richie, from the parents' perspective, what I can see coming out of this, and this is just me speculating, but, you know, I'm sure you have the parents who say, why is my kid in this group? He's better than that. He should be with these kids, or she should be with those kids. This will give the parents an objective view of where their child stands.
That's right. We're going to be charting the matches. So the parents will actually receive an email on their, you know, how their kid did and what they did well and what they need to work on to become a better tournament player. So it's a very kind of nurturing environment they're going to be in. They're not just thrown the court randomly against a random opponent and no one's watching. Like, we're going to have coaches on the court making notes, documenting it all, and then we're going to communicate that to the parents and the players. I think that's a really, really good way to learn how to play matches, and it's ultimately going to really help them win matches in open events.
Right. And again, from the parent side, you know, there's so many times where my child's playing a tournament match and his coach just can't be there for whatever reason. And So to have the opportunity, you know, as a parent, to know that your child's coach is right there watching them in a competitive situation and picking up on the things that we see when we take them to, as you call them, the open tournaments, you know, that to me is very valuable, because what a coach sees on the practice court and what parents oftentimes see in a competitive situation are very, very different. And, you know, this is kind of giving everyone a taste of that without parents necessarily having to incur an extra expense of paying for a coach to travel, you know, but still having that benefit.
Sure, sure. And I think, you know, the relationship, it's, you know, there's three people in it, three groups. So there's the coach, the parent, and the player. And I think having good communication channels with the parents is key. You know, they're obviously a really important part of the package. And I think some coaches don't communicate enough with the parents. You know, they, like, the parents will drop their kids off and then they'll maybe go to work, or and they'll come back for the last 10 minutes of the session, but they won't really know how their kids have done. So I think, you know, the tournaments, we're going to be writing emails to every parent on detailing exactly how they did and strengths and the weaknesses. And I just think it's really good for the parent and for the player as well. So it kind of gets everyone on the same page.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. So I know you said you needed to watch the clock today, so you have to let me know when we're coming to the end of your availability.
Okay, cool. I'm doing all right. I was a little bit worried about the weather, but thankfully, the rain has held off, and I'm doing all right. So.
Okay. Well, good. We'll keep going. Okay. So,
cool.
I know at Old Town they don't just have a program for 10 and unders. There's junior development for all age groups. So can you talk a little bit about when the child is ready to make the transition from your program into the next level? What are you looking for in order to make that recommendation that it's time for them to move to the next phase? And what does that phase entail? And you can talk as generally or as specifically as you like about that.
Sure. Hey, you know, I think that's it's a really, really good question, really important question. Essentially, for them to transition from green to yellow, they'll need to be able to play points well, able to play, you know, full sets, have a good understanding of the different spins, so being able to, you know, use topspin and slice, have good tactical awareness as well. So, you know, understanding when to vary the height, understanding how to open up the court. Also, good concentration levels are going to help. And then, obviously, that they're physically strong enough to be hitting the regular ball with a full-size racket. So, you know, it comes from knowing the player and assessing them over a period of time.
And so when they move out of your program, what's the next step for them?
So the next step for them will be, one, adjusting to the different bounce of the ball. So the green ball is 25% slower. So when they transition onto the regular ball, it's going to be coming quicker at them, so they'll have less time, and the ball's also going to be bouncing out of their strike zone more. So there will be some adjustments for them to make. You know, they're going to have to, the preparation with the racket is going to have to be a little bit quicker. Their contact point will be a little bit higher, but the ball is bouncing higher. So there are transitions that need to be made for them.
Right. And I know that making that transition also from the short court to the full-size court requires an increased fitness level, an increased strength. So
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, when they're playing with the green ball, they'll actually be playing full court. When they're playing with the orange ball, they're playing in the shorter court. So it really comes from orange to green, not as much from green to yellow. The green to yellow is more of a technical adjustment with the swings, getting the racket back a little earlier, and also contacting the ball in a higher position. So really the technical adjustments from green to regular are a little bit more difficult. More important.
Right. So when you transition them from orange to green, is there a fitness component that enters into the training at that point?
Yeah, there would be. There definitely would be, like the drills in the green ball program are more, a little bit more intense. There'll be more movement involved because the court is bigger. So they'll definitely have to step up the fitness level a little bit for sure.
And at what age do you recommend that a child integrate some sort of fitness program? And I'm not talking in a gym with weights, but I'm talking, you know, agility training and maybe, you know, some yoga or using resistance bands, things that are safe for a developing body. At what age do you recommend that?
I'd recommend that around 10 years old. Between 9 and 10 years old, they could start incorporating that into their program. But, you know, it also depends on the player, you know, how serious they are about the tennis. You know, for recreational players, it may not be as important. For, you know, really talented, high-performance players, it's a little bit more important. So around 9 to 10 for a really talented, high-performance junior. They can start incorporating a little bit of footwork training and yoga and that sort of thing.
And you guys provide that opportunity at Old Town, correct?
Of course, yeah, we do. Now we do general fitness in the color ball program, and then we also have a homeschool program for, you know, the elite juniors. It's very well structured. We've got, you know, during yoga classes every week, they've got a fitness trainer, a footwork trainer. They do workouts in the gym, stretching routines. So we have a great, you know, really a great program in place for the elite players.
And tell me, because this term elite player gets tossed around a lot, high performance, elite, all of those mm-hmm. terms. What, as a parent, you know, again, we all want to hear that our kids the best, that they have the potential
right.
to be number one in the world, and, you know, all of that. But honestly, I mean, I think, you know, the terms get thrown around more often than necessary. So mm-hmm. what is the definition of an elite player, a high-performance player in your mind? And as parents, what are some guidelines that we should be looking for to determine whether our child is ready to kind of make that transition into high-performance or elite training?
Sure. Well, essentially, there's several components. So number one is their mindset and their attitude to the sport. So if they absolutely love the sport, they eat and sleep tennis, they're crazy about the sport, they're working really hard at it, that's definitely one component. So they need that. The other component is their ability, so how talented they are. And then also their ranking as well would come into play when they get older. So, you know, if they've got a good ranking, they're extremely committed to the sport, they're working really hard at it, and they have some, you know, they have natural talent and ability, they'll, you know, be in the category of an elite junior.
Got it. What's your philosophy on kids specializing in tennis at an early age?
Say that again, sorry.
What's your philosophy on kids specializing in tennis at an early age? For example, you know, a child maybe at 5 is maybe playing a little t-ball, playing a little soccer, playing a little tennis. At what point does the child need to choose?
Mm-hmm.
And are there advantages and disadvantages to specializing earlier versus later?
Sure. You know, Lisa, I think that's a very good question. It's a very good question for parents. You know, I'm sure a lot of parents around the world have that in their mind. I think there are always benefits to doing some other sports, particularly when you're young. I think there's, you know, benefits to doing some team sports. I grew up in Ireland playing some rugby. You know, I learned, how to work with a team, learned communication skills. It was also good for my fitness. So I would have played some rugby and soccer up to probably around 10 or 11 years old. And then, you know, I loved the tennis so much, then I gave up the other sports and focused fully on the tennis when I was around 11 years old. So I think up to around 10 or 11, it is really useful to be doing some other sports.
Right. And I mean, I think, you know, when I was coming up, you used to see athletes that, you know, in high school, they would letter in 3 or 4 different sports. You know, they would go to college and play multiple sports at the collegiate
mm-hmm.
level. We're not really seeing that anymore. Kids tend to specialize younger and younger.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I think standard's so high now. You know, the standard's really, really high. And I know in the men's college tennis in the States, they've a huge number of foreign players. I don't know the exact figures, but it's probably somewhere in the region of 60% are international players. So the level's so high, I think they need to specialize in it a little earlier than perhaps before. From my experience working with kids, I think around... around 10, if they're, you know, very into the tennis, around 10 is a good age to fully focus on it. But, you know, when they're 6, 7, 8 years old, there's certainly benefits of, you know, playing other sports, you know, and perhaps another team sport.
Right. You mentioned at the beginning of the hour that fun was a big component, especially
yeah,
the younger
definitely.
Ones.
Definitely,
We see, I mean, my son now is 17. Burnout is a huge issue as these kids reach their teen
mm-hmm.
years,
mm-hmm.
especially the ones who have chosen to specialize at 9, 10 years old. By the time they reach
sure.
their teen they're done. They're
Yeah, you know, I think in the States now, I grew up in Ireland, I've played a lot of tennis in Europe and in Asia. You know, I think in the States there's too much pressure on the kids for their ranking. Like when they're young, 10, 12, 14, it's really not the most important thing. So I think, you know, perhaps, you know, some coaches or parents are a little guilty of perhaps putting too much pressure on their kids to, you know, have the best ranking, whereas really enjoying the game and developing is way more important. And you'll actually know that a lot of the top men players in the world, they weren't top juniors. Like Federer wasn't a top junior when he was young. He developed a little bit later on, and then some of the juniors who were world number ones never really went on to do much on the pro tour. So I think in the States there can be a little bit too much pressure on the kids and the ranking.
Right. It's kind of a catch-22, though, because if you don't have a high enough ranking, you can't get into the event to play the better players, you know, and see that next level. So I guess finding that middle ground is really the challenge. And from the coach's perspective, I know as a parent, it's really complicated and difficult to keep up with all the changes that are going on with how the ranking structure works and how the selection process works. For you guys, I don't know how you find time to keep up with it with all the other stuff you're doing. So, you know, it'll be interesting to, as your program gets more developed, you know, to watch these kids and see how they move through the system here. I mean, the system's the system, and it's, you know, it is what it is, and right now it's all we've got. So we have to try and figure out how to navigate our way through it as best we can.
Sure.
But the challenge, as you said, is keeping them interested and keeping them having fun.
Sure, yeah. Well, like, you know, I think it's the most important thing in tennis and in sport, that it's enjoyable. You know, I still really love it. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be involved in the sport. So I think parents should definitely... That should be a key aspect of, you know, their kids' tennis, is that they're enjoying it. When they enjoy it, they work a lot harder, and when they work harder, they get better. So that's what the focus should be on when they're young. Now, obviously, ranking gets incrementally more important as they get older, like particularly, say, in the 16s and the 18s when, you know, D1 scholarships are up for grabs. You've definitely got to have a good ranking. And the kids are a bit older and more mature, and they're more able to deal with the, you know, the stress and the pressures of that. But, you know, in the 10s and 12s, ranking certainly not the most important thing. They should be focusing on enjoyment and getting their game better.
And as a coach, how do you balance the fun factor with, you know, helping them improve? I mean, I hear coaches use the term hits and giggles for a lot of the U10 programs out there. And so how do you reconcile those two challenges, you know, keeping it fun while at the same time making sure that they're developing technically along the right path?
Sure. I think, you know, when I mentioned having fun and enjoying it, that really comes from improving. So when they feel like their game's improving, when they're able to rally better, when they're able to play points better, the game becomes a lot more fun and enjoyable. So it's not like when I say fun, it's, you know, messing around and stuff. It's not. It's about having fun playing tennis and enjoying what you're doing, enjoying the point playing, enjoying the drills. So that's really, really key.
What's the youngest age that you have out there right now?
We take 4 to 6 year olds in the Red Bull program. Essentially four. Four is the youngest.
And how many hours a week or days a week are the younger kids coming out?
The Red Bull guys at the moment are coming out twice a week for an hour. We'll probably try and add in another class, so it'll be three times a week. So we'll probably add in another class maybe in the next month or two.
And are you finding that they're coming multiple days, or are they, do you have different kids coming on different days? I'm just thinking in terms of if a family has their child playing tennis, playing soccer, playing lacrosse, or, you know, whatever, 3 days to devote to tennis is an awful lot to ask.
Sure. You know, they can, if they can only make it twice a week, that's fine. You know, it really depends on their schedule, the parents' schedule.
Right. I mean, I find it so interesting that there really aren't sports seasons anymore here. You know, pretty much.
Say that again.
There aren't seasons for particular sports anymore. Pretty much every sport is around, right? So
yeah.
It's not like you play, you know, baseball in the spring and football in the fall and basketball in the winter. I mean, the way it's gone, at least in the Atlanta area, is you're pretty much locked in year-round. And tennis is certainly no different.
Yeah, you know, that's a shame here. You know, I think up till they're, you know, say 9 or 10 years old, it's great to have another sport and another interest. So, you know, that's how I feel about it. If they can maybe, they don't have to perhaps play competitively, but if they can, you know, just get out there and play some American football or soccer or whatever other sport they're interested in, I think it's going to be good for them. If they're really good at the tennis and it's their favorite sport, then, you know, hanging up the football boots and focusing on the tennis when they're around 10 years old is, you know, would be a good guide for them.
What would you say to a parent who says, well, I can't put them in these other sports because they're going to fall behind their peers on the tennis court if they're not out there every day?
Yeah, it's a good point. It would really depend on the player. It would depend on how old they are and if, you know, tennis was their main sport. So it's hard to say unless I know who you're talking about and, you know, how old the kid is and stuff.
Right. But, I mean, let's say it's an 8-year-old, you know, and they're just an all-around good athlete. They're good at every sport they try. But for whatever reason, the family has determined that tennis is going to wind up being the sport.
One of the first things I ask kids when I meet them is how long they've been playing, do they play any other sports, and what their favorite sports are. So I think before parents decide that they should only be playing tennis, they should definitely definitely talk to their boy or girl and see if, you know, tennis really is what they want to do, and if it is, perhaps they can focus on that a little bit earlier. But, you know, I don't think there's any harm in keeping them in another sport maybe once or twice a week till they're 9 or 10 years old.
Right. I hope parents are listening to this because it's such good advice. And I mean, again, you know, looking back now as we're getting toward the end of my son's junior tennis years, the kids who have dropped out of the sport due to burnout is interesting. And even now, you know, as my son's a junior in high school, but he has a lot of friends who are seniors, the number of seniors who are saying they're not looking to play college tennis. They've spent the last 10, 12 years training and competing and developing, and now when, you know, they're at the end of the junior tennis thing, they've decided, I'm ready to just go to college and have fun, you know, focus on my education. To me, it's sad, you know, because I feel like they give up so much.
Like, I think the amount and intensity of training should be incrementally long.
Oh, we're losing you, Richie. You must be in, I don't know where. or a rain cloud's gotcha. But we've lost you. Are you still there? Okay, I think you must be in a dead spot on I-85. So for my listeners, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I'm going to go ahead. We're almost to the end of the hour anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and wind down here. But I hope you've learned a lot. Richie is a great guy. I've had the opportunity to speak with him in person several times. And it looks like he may be back. Let me see. Richie, are you back?
Hello, Lisa. Yeah, I just got cut off there. Sorry, I went under some bridge. So I'm back now.
Okay, good. Well, I was just saying we're winding down. We're almost at the end of our hour. But I was just saying that I have had the opportunity to speak with you several times in person, and, you know, I see you on a regular basis since I take yoga at the club where you run your program. I was saying I really hope the parents are paying attention to what you're saying in terms of the early specialization, in terms of the fun piece, in terms of the extra fitness piece. And so if you could leave our listeners, and namely the parents, with one or two key words of wisdom, what would you tell them?
My philosophy really is that tennis is for life. When the kids learn tennis at a young age, it's really for the rest of their life. They can play at any age, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s. So it's really a life skill that they're learning. So when they're, 10 or 12 years old, their tennis future is, they've still got a massive tennis future ahead of them. So, there shouldn't be as much pressure and focus on, who's number one in the 10s or the 12s. It's really not that important. The most important thing is that they're enjoying it and they're getting better. And if they're enjoying it and they're getting better, they're definitely going to stay in the sport longer, which, is a goal for me in the program. Like, I want the kids that we're working with to play this sport for life. That's what I want them to do, and that's a goal of mine, perhaps more so than, getting them the number one ranking when they're 10 years old. So that's, that'd be a message I'd, like to communicate to the parents.
Well, it's a good message and one that we all need to heed, and really for all of us, if we can just back off a little bit and let these kids just learn how to enjoy playing the sport, because it is, as you said, it's something that we can do, barring injury, our whole life. And I use the example of my dad. My dad's 76 years old and still plays singles 2 days a week with his college teammates.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. It's
brilliant.
And I see
and
that.
And he wouldn't be doing it if he didn't enjoy it. He wouldn't be doing it if he didn't enjoy it. So he must still be obviously really enjoying it, which is brilliant.
Right. And so I think too often we parents tend to suck the fun right out of it for our kids. I have been guilty of that on more occasions than I want to count. And so it's refreshing to hear a coach reinforce that. So thank you,
sure.
Richie, for coming on.
Okay,
and
you're welcome, yeah.
Be careful on I-85.
I will, yeah. I think it's about time to pull in and get some gas. The tank's running a little bit low, so.
Yeah, don't run out of gas in rural
yeah.
Alabama. Georgia. That's not a good plan. But thanks for taking the time to come on today and sharing your philosophy.
You're welcome. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Continued success.
Okay. Thanks a million, Lisa. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
To my listeners, thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you've learned something. I know I always learn from my guests, even though Richie deals with a younger age group. I still have lots to learn from him and love his attitude toward these kids. And I have seen him on the court. He does a great, great job. So for those of you just thinking about getting your kids into tennis, your younger ones, please make sure you ask questions of your child's potential coach. Make sure that fun is at the forefront as your child is learning the sport, and worry about the rankings and the outcomes as they get older. But when they're young ones, it really should have been said about having fun and getting better every day. Have a great week, everybody. We've got more wonderful guests coming up in the next few weeks, so tune in next week for Parenting Aces.